You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, what happens to your social media footprint when you die? We'll give you tips to organize things for your surviving family members. We'll tell you about a big challenge for you to achieve something that, if you do, you'll be able to literally say you made it all the way to the very top. That and more this hour. Let's meet the friends. She just ran a credit check on your poodle. Erin Myers is here. Microphone, turn the microphone on. Where's the button?
I'm still getting used to this button thing with the radio and anything like this. I'm used to just a mic right there and it's already on.
Yeah.
So, if you've shopped at Home Depot, you might want to check your credit card statement. So, big hack there. Big hack.
We'll fix that in editing later, I promise. Hey, he's turning and he's coughing. Jay Campidonia is here.
You got to have some pretty big... Yeah, to do what this guy's doing, or just one really giant one. Details coming up.
And Chris Martin is fighting to escape the aftermath of torrential downpours and a ferocious haboob in Arizona. That's what they're called. We hope to hear from him while he's on the road. That and a whole lot more coming up.
A what?
A haboob.
You mean hubbub?
No, it's a haboob. I'll give you time to Google it while we're talking. That's what they're called.
Interesting. All right. Haboob. Interesting word.
We'll explain. Chris will explain. Hopefully he can get through and talk to us. And now somebody else got through, and this is getting maddening because perhaps we are just doing things wrong when it comes to commerce with our local store. In this case, it's our local hardware store, which just happens to be a big box hardware store with a couple thousand locations across the country. Home Depot, Erin. Another data breach, huh?
Yes, a big one. They're saying this could actually be the biggest ever. They're about 60 million credit card numbers, they think, have been stolen. And, you know, Home Depot did just confirm this yesterday. Now, this all happens less than a year after 40 million cards were taken at Target. So, you know, Home Depot, they're apologizing. They're saying we're sorry for the frustration and inconvenience, but, you know, people aren't happy at all. And, you know, their stock is getting hit big time. And analysts are actually saying they're really surprised that how nearly 2,000 stores in the U.S. could process over 750 million transactions without noticing hackers. It's just kind of shocking them right now. Now, we do here in the U.S. have this antiquated card reader system, where in Canada, Europe, they use a PIN system. So I guess we are trying to get on board. But even with that, they're saying it's still, we're never going to be completely safe from people
Well, of course not.
Our credit cards.
Well, because stores always go with the lowest bidder. So we're never going to catch up to those guys.
No.
You know, the hackers will always be one step ahead because whoever's got the cheapest model wins.
For sure.
And then we got to stick my credit card in there. Thanks.
Yeah. And it's not too hard to think back in the last 5 or 6 months. Did you go to Home Depot for any reason?
Yes.
Like
you?
You needed a light bulb. Maybe you needed just one of those things, you know, that just, or maybe you went in and you filled one of those flat push carts that they have, you know, where you got like 2,000 pounds worth of stuff.
Right.
Those used to be fun to ride on, actually, when I was a kid. But, you know, now
you
people aren't so happy with it.
You need to replace a potted plant. You know, you go to the Home Depot or the Lowe's, but or whatever it is. It seems like none of these places are immune from these hackers. They figured out how to get in.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It is. We hope to find out more about this, too, perhaps on Thursday's show. We'll see how that goes. Now, I don't know if you saw some of the video in Arizona. Big doings there, and our Chris Martin is stuck in it. We hope to hear from him later in the program. But, Erin, this is all due to Hurricane Norbert, right?
It is, yeah. Yesterday, they had record rainfall for a single day out in, you know, Phoenix and the desert areas. I mean, water, they said, covering the highways. At least two people were killed as well. A woman was actually swept away in her car, and then another woman drowned in floodwaters. So very dangerous, very scary. They said about 100 homes in Mesa, they were, you know, threatened by all of this as well. And this is associated with Norbert, the tropical depression by the time it got here. But, you know, big, big problems. I know my family, they live there and my mom didn't go to work yesterday. They were housebound. And they did say about 3.29 inches of rain at the Phoenix airport. And that previous
That's
record.
That's very precise, by the way.
Yes, I know, yeah. Right? It's in my notes right here. So almost four.
Is that 2,900ths of an inch?
They did say, though, out in Chandler, which is, you know, not too far, over 5 inches of rain. So
my
a
goodness.
Lot of water.
I forgot to check on my friend, mm-hmm. my buddy in Chandler. I wonder if he's.
In a day?
Because he doesn't
in
swim.
In a day. In a couple hours, actually, is what they're saying. So very scary situation there. They did get most of the roads cleared now and people, you know, can go to work again. But, I mean, standstill out there.
I think we pack up and we go. We renounce our citizenship. It only costs $450 for another day or two. Then it jumps up to $2,350. If you want to renounce your U.S. citizenship.
Yeah, why would you want to do that?
Well, because you've got, you know, torrential rain in Arizona. You've got people stealing your credit card information. Just get out, you know, and maybe you could go back to the old days and hail to the queen or to the king or whatever it's going to be for that matter, because there's a line on the runway to what do you call that?
To the throne.
To the throne.
There is a line.
The runway to the throne.
Yes, there's going to be a new royal baby. The royal family announced that the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge are expecting their second child, and now the United Kingdom is just jumping. They know that they're, you know, talking about names already. I guess Elizabeth, Victoria, and Henry are the top on the list. So
those are familiar names in royal circles, aren't they?
Yeah,
yes.
Right?
Very noble and regal. So apparently I will never be a queen with my name. But poor Prince Harry, too, though. You know, he's the second born as well, so he's now bumped on the list to number 5 in line for the throne. So he's probably not going to see it.
But who's next? Ears, right?
Prince Charles, number 1, then Prince William, Prince George, and then the new baby is now number 4.
Wow.
So very exciting.
No chance for a queen then for some time.
Probably not. Yeah, probably not.
Right. Yeah, but Harry doesn't care. He just goes in Vegas and parties.
Well,
all he does.
They said that it's actually really difficult to be the second born in a royal family because they get
Do you know how this works? So let's say Charles has a child with whomever, because I'm not keeping track. Is he still with Camilla?
I think so, yes.
They are together.
Let's say Camilla has a baby. Does that child jump to the head of the class since he's the second in line?
Yeah, but she's like 80. She can't have a kid, right?
No, she's not
80. She's like 60. But if you adopt, that's not blood, so they can't be an heir to the throne.
I think William would still be first, though, because he's the firstborn of his children. So he would always – he'd be first. The third baby would probably jump in front of the new ones, the new royal babies.
Yeah, interesting. What if they just had like a TV show and let the audience vote?
Well, did you guys see that reality show that they did where they tried to – smart American women thought they were dating Prince Harry.
Oh, right.
Yes. So, why not do that too?
That was sad. It really was. How little self-esteem so many women have. And
right?
It's just, it's kind of in a weird way. It's fun to watch, but just the same, it is sad once you start thinking about it.
No, it's sad.
Yeah. And he didn't even look like Prince Harry.
When you look at it from an intellectual point of view, it's sad.
Yeah. It's just like, come on, really? You're going to do that to get on TV? Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
All right. But you're watching it.
Hey, yep.
I only recorded one episode, Phil.
Yeah. Now, I don't know, Jay, what I would do if I saw this rolling down the street toward me.
A guy in California, out here in Santa Monica, right on the gorgeous beaches of Santa Monica, is rolling a giant 6-foot-tall inflatable testicle.
No, why? Why is he doing that?
He is a cancer survivor, Phil.
Okay, I'll stop laughing.
Spreading the message.
Yes, that's exactly what he's doing. He says his giant testicle has got a big slogan on it that says, be ballsy. And he's rolling it across the United States. He wants to hit Vegas, Houston, Atlanta, New York, and Washington, right? And he basically is filling this giant ball with messages of the people that he meets on his journey. And it's to talk to people about cancer and testicular cancer in particular.
The messages go into it?
Correct.
All right.
So you see this guy walking around, and his expectation is you go up to him. Hey, what are you doing? What is that? And he goes, well, let me tell you my story. Okay. And the man has survived testicular cancer, thank God. And he says, look, I don't need donations. All I want is your time. He's got a website. Great, great website.
Oh, yeah.
Ballpush.org.
That's easy.
Ballpush.org. You can find out where he's going to be. You can find out what cities he's going to be in. But he's just rolling this giant
Yeah.
Can you actually tell what it is when you look at the picture? Or
if you look at the picture, well, it looks like a giant beige ball.
Yeah. I'm going
like
there
a
now.
Rubber ball.
Like a playground ball.
Like a playground ball.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, he's starting a conversation, so that is good.
That is exactly what he says he wants to do. He doesn't want money. He just wants your time. And he goes, hey, I'm trying to put the word out there because this is serious. Men need to be checked. Women have to have their men go get checked because you can die from something like this. So go get checked.
Looks like he wants a role in a TV show, too. He's got that serious, you know, actor kind of look.
You think?
Yeah.
But who doesn't nowadays? So.
Yeah, right.
And well, he is from Santa Monica.
Sure. So he goes for the La Tigra look right there on the first shot.
La Tigra?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what that is. Anyway, well, good for him. Yeah, it doesn't look like a testicle.
No. Which is good. I mean, how could you, well, you wouldn't want that rolling around.
No, because somebody would complain.
You
and
think?
It may be against the law, depending on which state he rolls through.
You'd have to cover the kid's eyes for sure. So.
All right.
Well. All right, so the slogan, be ballsy, guys.
Yeah, as opposed to go nuts.
Hey, I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, let's see. What are we doing next? Oh, yeah. You remember the beer bong, right?
Of course.
Of course. Who doesn't remember a beer bong? Erin is shaking her head no. She doesn't remember.
No, I do not.
Must mean that you had too many chances to use one. Well, wait until we tell you about the new age version of the beer bong. And it's not beer they're guzzling down this time. No, no, no. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have a website, philhewlettandfriends.com, where you can listen to this and every one of our programs anytime you like, on demand, right there on the homepage. Can't go wrong. We have a store where you can buy the books from the authors you hear on this program. And we have other interesting things there for you to poke around. Look for the mistakes. You find a mistake and you win.
Shouldn't be too hard.
No, it shouldn't.
Is the waffle book in there?
The waffle book is there.
Oh, man.
Will it waffle?
Yes.
It's in the store. Yeah, that's an awesome cookbook.
Yeah, I have to sit down with a waffle iron and just experiment because that really inspired me.
Yeah, sit down with a waffle iron. Not sit down on a waffle iron.
Correct.
That would hurt. Yeah.
That would. You know, and what also hurts, you take a shot of Jack Daniels, and you get that immediate, like, flame feeling that comes out of your mouth, right?
It's not pleasant.
Jack Daniels is the greatest drink ever.
All right.
It really is.
You're a hardcore whiskey drinker.
I am a whiskey drinker. I love Jack Rocks. I love it. I don't like it in Coke. I like Jack Rocks. Every once in a while,
belly up to the bar, you say, Barky, give me a whole bottle of that rot gut.
Jack Rocks, please. That's what I say. Jack Rocks. Well, this guy may have taken Jack Daniels to new heights.
Uh-oh.
Okay. He's from Wales, and he posted a video of himself downing an entire 25-ounce bottle of Jack Daniels in 13 seconds.
My goodness. And he survived?
He did survive, and to be honest with you, he came out today and says that he regrets it.
Oh.
That's good. He learned a lesson.
So there's the old school beer bongs where there's got the funnel, the tube. Somebody pours the beer into the funnel, goes down the tube into your mouth. Correct?
Yeah.
There are these newfangled things that has like a straw that goes down into like a beer bottle and kind of aerates it a little bit and allows air to get in and forces the alcohol out faster.
Science.
Science. You can down a beer, and I believe the thing is like 2.5 seconds. That's like their big claim to fame.
Yeah. That's if the point of drinking the beer is to get drunk.
Exactly.
Because you're
not going for flavor.
Yeah, you're bypassing the taste buds altogether, aren't
you? Exactly. Well, this is what this guy used on a bottle of Jack Daniels. And he was dared by a friend. He said, sure, I can do it. He did it. And the video has gotten more than 1 million hits on YouTube, and it's catching fire, Phil.
Uh-oh.
Guys across the country now are doing this and posting their own. Some guys get halfway through. Some guys get a quarter of the way through. One guy did it. This kind of thing.
And it's only a matter of time before somebody dies.
Yes.
It has to be.
Yeah.
You'd have to be, because when that bottle hit, I love a good, nice, cold Jack on the rocks, and about 20 minutes later, you kind of go, oh, that feels good. Okay. It hit rock bottom.
Yeah, but if you're drinking a whole 25 ounces and then somebody drops a bucket of ice water on your head, you know, is that Jack? That's Jack and rocks, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would be dead. He doesn't say how it came back up. He's not going into details, but he says that he highly regrets it and he does not recommend anyone try it.
But it's out there.
Yeah, it is out there. And this is from the Britain's National Health Service.
Yeah.
He had 7 times the daily recommended amount of alcohol.
My goodness.
In 13 seconds.
And hopefully he didn't drive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, check out these 4 things that my parents and probably your parents did back in the day that if they did it today, it would get them arrested. Leaving you home alone.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of states have laws now that say you can't leave a child unsupervised under the age of 12.
I did not know
I'm
that.
Pretty sure I was in charge at the age of 5.
No.
Pretty sure.
5?
Yeah.
That's young. Yeah.
Just, hey, you two go to sleep. We'll be back. In some states, it's younger than that. Illinois, it's 14. Smoking while you're in the car. A bunch of states are still in the process of making this illegal, especially when kids are in the car. But 6 states have already done it. Arkansas, Louisiana, Maine, Oregon, Utah, and can you guess? California.
California, yeah of course.
Letting you ride in the car without a seatbelt. All 50 states now have laws that require car seats or seat belts for kids. New Hampshire is the only one where adults don't have to wear a seat belt, and they just officially suggest that you do it.
Oh.
Yeah. In most cases, you won't get arrested for it, but you could get a fine. But you could see jail time if you get in a crash and somebody gets hurt. And finally, taking photos of you in the tub. It's legal to take photos of your kids in the buff. But in 2008, a couple in Arizona took a roll of film to Walmart. And the person who developed it thought some of the bath photos were child pornography.
Oh, God.
Wow.
All the charges were eventually dropped, but both parents had to register as sex offenders until it was dealt with. The mom got suspended from her job at a school.
Oh, my God.
And their kids ended up in foster care for a month.
Wow. How old were the kids, does it say?
No, it doesn't say, but just the same. There are 4 things that,
17 and 14.
Well, you always wonder, what's the okay age where you can, what's the cutoff on that for kids?
Well, you know, I always see these photos on Facebook. Oh, look how cute, bath time. And I'm like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because there's always the one creepy guy.
Right.
More than one.
Well, yeah,
more
that's
than
true.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah,
don't post it on social media. That's terrible.
Yeah, and they left out leaving your kids in the car because, back in the day, just roll all the windows down, leave the key in the ignition.
Yeah, so they can listen to the radio.
And leave the car unlocked and the whole thing and just, okay, I'll be right back. And
I'm going to go pick up milk and bread.
Yeah. Hey, gee, mister, that's a weird shirt you're wearing.
Yeah, right?
It's because it's got the other kid I just met all smeared all over it.
What about spanking?
Is that
if you hit a kid?
Is that against the rules?
No, but if you hit a kid, that can get you arrested.
Well, really?
In certain areas,
if they go to the hospital, if they go to the hospital, or if they go to school.
Okay.
Now, if the kid,
so you do it right heart, up to yes. that point.
Yeah, if the kid goes to school with bruises.
You're right.
On his or her back or arms or face or anything like that, the teacher can, it's her duty, his or her duty to send the child to the nurse's office and then they write up a report and they could bypass the parents altogether as far as I know.
Just call the cops.
Then you get one of those on the door, only it's louder than that.
Oh, my God.
And they want to see Jeremy's drone. No, that's the only time this show's been trouble with the law.
You got to listen to every show, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Then you would get that joke.
Go back and search the website.
That's
You'll find that story in a couple of places. All right. Aaron, you're sitting in kind of a strange way, but it almost looks like you care about what I want to know about.
Yes, because body language is very, very important. A study was done, and they say body language is the key to people trusting you. And they looked at four particular things that people do quite often, and we probably don't even realize it. But one is hand touching. The other is touching your face.
Touching your own hands?
Touching your own hands.
Yeah.
Touching your face, crossing your arms, and then leaning away from people. Now, they found that if you touch your hands, that makes you look nervous or tentative, and people think that you're not being honest or you lack confidence. Now, touching your face, something, you know, you don't even think about, at least I don't, but that makes people think that you could be up to no good because you're not telling them what you're thinking. And then crossing your arms makes you seem closed off. And leaning away is like you're trying to run. You're trying to disengage. So those are things that you should be aware of, especially in interviews or when you're meeting new people, because otherwise they're going to think you're sneaky.
You want to know what you could do that make people think that you're very honest, you're telling them something heartfelt? You just put your hand on your heart while you're talking.
Oh, that's kind of sweet.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's on some subconscious level, they think, oh, that guy, I can really trust that guy.
Yeah. Oh, so caring.
I'll pay an extra $4,000 for that car. just stop and think for a moment about all the things you've posted online and all of your logins and your passwords. What happens to all of that stuff if you drop dead tomorrow? We're going to find out. Next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Yes, you are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. We thank you for that. I'm Phil. We have Aaron and Jay here today. Chris is on the road in Arizona somewhere, stuck in the middle of the yesterday's storms, but he believes he's going to get out of there today, and he's going to check in the moment he gets mobile. We hope for that. But think about this now. When you die, what happens to your Facebook, Twitter, or your Google accounts? Those, of course, are just a few of the accounts that you have out there. But really, do you have a plan? And are the social media websites even ready to cooperate with your survivors? We're just scratching the surface with these questions. So joining us live is family financial planning expert and founder of Wealth Haven, Holly Isdale. Hi, Holly.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you, and hope you're well as well. What are the rules about ownership once you post a photo on Facebook or Twitter? Who owns that content?
Well, you technically have the ownership, but as you saw last weekend, it doesn't necessarily, or 2 weeks ago, you don't necessarily keep control of it after your death. So while you may have the copyright in the asset, protecting it can be pretty hard, and that copyright may or may not pass to your next of kin the way you want it to pass.
What happened recently that you're referencing?
Well, I was talking about all the pornographic pictures that got released of the celebrities.
Yeah, I just needed you to bring it up and talk about it, you know, so we have it back fresh in our memories again.
This way you say porn and we don't.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's a little trick we do. So what happens when you die? Are the websites getting more comfortable with allowing a proxy to get in there, grab all the photos, and close the account?
Not really. I mean, I think what really happens is you've got to make sure there's authorization in your estate documents. And that's the big trip up for a lot of people, is that you think that your attorney or your executor, your trustee, your spouse could get online and just access stuff. But if you haven't put specific authorization in your documents, under most state laws, they don't have the right to get in. And there's some laws that are still on our books from 1986, if you can imagine, that govern electronic communications that will limit the ability of any of these providers to release information to you.
So you're saying you need to put your social media presence into your family trust?
You need to put in authorization. You certainly don't want to put your passwords in there. And frankly, you don't want to have to call your lawyer and rack up legal fees every time you decide that you're moving from Facebook to another platform. What you want to do is just have language in there, which is starting to become more common, that says, look, to the extent I have digital assets, regardless of what they are, because who would have thought 20 years ago or even 10 years ago that we'd be accessing apps the way we are today, whatever I have, I want to make sure that my executor or my trustee or my spouse, whoever you want to put in there, has access to those assets. And that's the first step, is to authorize. And the second step is to organize, because if you think about it, you have apps, 90% of the stuff that you have on your computers, on your hardware, on your laptops, on your phones, you can destroy when you die. You don't really need anyone there. But that 10% is critical to have access to.
All right, gotcha on that one. I think I understand, but I wonder how many people actually have this. I'm guessing not a whole bunch. I know I don't.
I would tell you that it's going to be very, very rare. Very few attorneys are adding these to their documents, and so what you need to do as an individual is to make sure that it's in there, or at least pull down a standard form and sign it that you authorize access. It's better if it's in a legal document.
So there's a there's a boilerplate for this already.
There's some
boilerplates
out there, and there's a I have a website called Digital Death that has some standard templates on it.
Yeah.
And there's some others that are out there as well. It's better if it's in your estate documents, obviously, but until your attorney gets around to it or you bring it to your attorney, it's a great way to at least get a start on it.
So you mentioned you don't need to put in the usernames and passwords and all that sort of thing. Does it matter then? For your survivors, they don't need your logins? Can they just go directly to the website and say, here?
They know what the websites are. So it is good if you have some type of an organized list. And also if you can provide the passwords, because many times they're going to want some type of user identification information. It's also important, Phil, to check the terms of service contract. And here, even as an attorney, it's mind-numbing to read through these things. But, for example, your Flickr account, if you call Flickr and say someone's dead, they're just going to delete the account.
Oh.
If you go to Facebook, they might make it into a memoriam page, but you might lose some of the functionality on the site and access to areas that you want. So it's important, by giving access or authorizing access, you're at least removing any criminal laws from coming into effect. And then it's really important to just write down at least the sites, because the passwords may change. But at least knowing I'm on Facebook, I'm on Google, I'm on all of these sites can be important.
Yeah, we're speaking with Holly Isdale with Wealth Haven. And here's what we need. You and I can go in on this if you want to. We need an app or a website that aggregates every website that where you've created a username and a password, because many of us, myself included, have been at this since the late 1980s. And I've forgotten more things I've signed up for than I log into on a daily basis. And it's all out there. So let's just say, who knows what's out there?
Absolutely. And, you know, you think about it, there are. If you do a search on the iTunes store, there are over 2,000 password applications out there. And, you know, most of them are not in the U.S., so you have some of these issues of that's great. All your passwords are now sitting in some Greek, you know, website. And is that really where you want your information if you're not under U.S. laws?
You don't want the Greek people to have their hands on anything.
Oh, boy.
Right?
I'm just picking on that because that was one I was looking at. I mean, you can put them anywhere. I just wouldn't want them. I would be concerned about having half of that information out there, because even the most secure sites get hacked. But
what about all your devices? What about all your devices that you have?
Oh, well, heavens, yes, because you think about it. If you're like me, you had hard drives, you have soft drives, you probably have thumb drives rattling around. You might have CDs that have information or pictures on them. You've got articles you've written. You've got stuff hanging all over the place. And just getting rid of that stuff is figuring it out, accessing it, downloading it is tremendous.
Is there any legal benefit to just leaving everything where it is and locking the family out?
You might want to do that. I mean, you think about some of the stuff you have on your internet. You might not want.
Well, that's right.
But I'm dead, and the joke's on them. They, you know.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
There's no shame in death.
There's no shame, actually, sometimes, because if you think about it, you've got your trustee does need to get in there and access it. If we've got this huge push in our service providers to go online and go paperless, and it's great, except that your bank accounts come to your email, your utility bills come there, your credit cards come there. Your apps that we have, all of these apps with their in-app purchases and so forth, are linked to your credit cards. I logged into an app on my iPad the other day and realized I had like 7 subscriptions that I'd totally forgotten about that are just barely renewing all the time because, you know, you sign up for it and you just forget about these things.
Do any of these sites, if you say don't use it for any length of time, will they just do any of them automatically maybe just cancel you if that happens where, say, you know, I haven't been on for a year or something along those lines?
sadly, the ones that do that tends to be the ones that you want to use. So Google, for example, will make your email accounts inactive if you haven't used them for a period of time, and Yahoo will do the same. So those random accounts that you set up to get all that spam might be deleted. You may not care, but you may care because there may be those three things that come into that account that you do look for.
Yeah. What can, now, what else? You mentioned one thing. There was a boilerplate form or two at digitaldeath.com, which is your website. What else can we find there?
There you should be able to find some articles on it and different information that's coming up. The other thing that you need to add in is healthcare proxies, because your healthcare information is left to your last legal representative. And so your healthcare records might be left to your second wife, but your kids don't have any access to that information.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's an important tip for a lot of people, because they just don't think, you know, they want someone to pull the plug, but they don't think about who gets access to the information.
And it's hard to get around HIPAA, especially when the doctor or the nurse or the attendant at the front desk, they get nervous about violating HIPAA.
Absolutely. And HIPAA was actually designed specifically to let you get access to information after your death. And with all of our information now going online, how great would it be to be able to give somebody 50 years of medical history? Here's when I had issues. I had problems. Here's what my cholesterol was when I was in my 30s and 40s. You know, and it's, I think, it's a tremendous resource that it's so easy to add this to your documents, and yet nobody's really talking about it.
Holly Isdale, lovely to talk with you. There's more information, again, at digitaldeath.com, also at wealthhaven.com. That's your company. And we have a link to your website on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Thanks for enlightening us on this topic.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. Hey, you know what? When you work out, what gives you the best burn to the glutes? What do you say?
Lunges are usually pretty good.
Lunges are good?
Yeah, but...
How about a good old-fashioned stair climber?
Those kick butt.
Yeah, they do. Well, we're going to introduce you to the biggest butt-burning stair climb west of the Mississippi next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. This is Phil Hewlett and Friends, and you are listening to it. Thank you for that. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jay Capadonia, Aaron Myers are here, and Chris Martin is out on the road somewhere. We hope he's getting out of Arizona after the big storm, and we will officially find out what a haboob is when he calls in. There truly is a thing called a haboob, Jay.
I doubt it.
All right. You will be shocked and amazed when you hear. Hey, joining us live now is the president of the USA Stair Climbing Association, Mark Tranowski. Tranowski, say your last name, Mark, real quick.
You did it. That's great, Phil. I say Tranowski, but that's close enough.
Tranowski. Well, I want to say it the way that would make your mom proud.
Okay.
Now, we're talking stair climbing here, and when you say stair climbing, you're not talking about a machine in the gym, right?
No, we're talking the old-fashioned type, not the new ones.
What, actual stairs?
The actual stairs in the building. When the elevators busted, what most people were, like, dreading, oh, I got to go take the stairs. But us stair climbers, we think an elevator's a bad word.
Yeah, well, what kind of a burn do you get from that kind of stair climbing?
It's a whole body workout, but especially your legs. I mean, when we get done, we got jelly legs. Half of our people that go for time, you know, they just fall down a couple steps before the finish, and they just lay there for a while.
No, so you're talking about people actually racing up a building, a skyscraper, that sort of thing. This is what you guys do competitively?
Right. Well, there's a group of us that are competitive stair climbers, and I got into the sport in 2007, and I start to meet a lot of other competitive stair climbers, and it's so competitive. We have chips, just like the 5K or 10K people, timing chips. So you can win or lose by 0.2 seconds. One of my friends, Terry Purcell, he's from the Midwest. He 103 floors on the Sears Tower, which is now the Willis Tower. That's the tallest stair climb in the United States. He won it by 1 second.
Now, is the finish line at the top or the bottom of the stairs?
Oh, the finish line's at the top.
Oh, good, because you'd hate for people to dive toward the tape,
right?
If it was going down the stairs.
Yeah.
Now, there's an event a week from this Friday, September 19, I believe, is the date. Tell us about that.
Sure. That's okay. It's the Ketchum Downtown YMCA Stair Climb, which is the tallest building west of the Mississippi River. It's the 21st year of this event. And last year, they had about 3,700 people that did that event. It's on a Friday. So the first stair climbers, we go in about every 2 seconds, and sometimes they'll send one or two people in, so it's not like a stampede. And I think they'll be quitting around 7 or 8 o'clock that night, so it's going to be a big chunk of that day. And they're estimating 4,000 people this year.
Wow. And so do you put all the competitive, fast people up at the front end? Because, you know, I'd hate to be a competitor, and I'm like number 2,900 in line, and in front of me is, you know, grandma and her two grandkids, you know, then they want to just stroll up the thing leisurely.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen too many grandmothers slowing us down. But they have the firemen in full gear.
Ooh.
There's going to be I think about 400 this year. And they call them the high-rise heroes. So believe it or not, these guys are in full gear, Phil. And the masks, everything, they about 70 pounds of gear. So we've been at a couple races where the firemen didn't get cleared out, and we had to follow those guys, and that's harder to get around than any grandmother. But as you said or suggested, they let the elites go first,
Yeah. And
you have to qualify for that. So it's usually an open stairwell. You get passed by one or two people or vice versa.
So that library tower, that's what we're talking about there. How many steps are we talking about? How many floors is that?
That's 75 floors. Okay, that's the U.S. Bank building. It used to be the old First Interstate building. And the brochure says 1,500 steps, but one of our guys, he works for Caltech, he counts these stairs and he has charts and everything. It's officially, according to Stan Schwartz from Caltech, it's 1,664 steps.
Wow, those Caltech guys and their charts.
Yeah. Now, is there a rule that you have to hit every single step on the way up, or can you jump two or three steps, you know, guys that are going for time and all that?
Yeah, Jay. Okay, so what you want to do is the ones that are going for steps, for time up the stairs, I'm sorry, we use rubber gloves, okay? So we want to, like wide receiver gloves, so we want to get a good grip on the rail, all right? And we use like a hand-over-hand method, or if the stairwell's narrow enough, you can use both hands, one on each rail. And then you want to skip two steps, every two steps with your feet, and then just kind of like pivot on the landings. Don't spend a lot of time in the landings. And most is like 10, then there's a turn or a landing, we call it, and another 10 steps.
So there's a lot of upper body involved in this then.
Phil, it's a lot of upper body, and rowers are good at this sport. It's good for cross training. The sport is beautiful for that. So if you're just a runner, then you might lack a little bit upper body. So
sometimes I've been forced, for whatever reason, I walked out a door and all of a sudden I'm in the stairwell of a building, and there's a particular familiar odor in the stairwell often, and it smells like urine. And so I don't know, do they freshen things up a little bit there in the stairwell of the library tower?
Oh yeah, they're all clean. I've never been in a really dirty stairwell. I mean, I've done the Empire State Building. That's one of the oldest buildings. You know, there might be some paint issues, you know, a little peeling and stuff like that, but they really have a team and they clean it up. They want to make it safe, well lit.
Yeah.
So they're nice. And then I've been in some very ornate stairwells. Like I heard, we're trying to put a stair climb together back in New York at the new World Trade Center, and I heard that stairwell is beautiful. And a lot of buildings are doing this now, Phil. They're working on their stairwells because they want people to be more active.
Encourage them.
Yeah, so the stairwells used to be dirty, you know, but they're really making them.
Well, that's good. That's beautiful. So on the Friday the 19th, this big Ketchum YMCA stair climb at the name of the top of the building again?
It's the U.S. Bank.
U.S. Bank building, right. This is all for a good cause, right?
Oh, yeah. It raises money for the YMCA, which is right downtown, does a lot of inner city work with youth. And it's their big premier event. And these stair climbs are all doing this. They're all raising money, you know, for charities. It's the good thing and kind of the bad thing for us guys that travel. I think this will be like my 47th stair climb. So, you know, there's the registration. You can register for the climb up till tomorrow. And the website for that is www.ymcastairclimb.org.
I have a link to it on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com just to make it easy. Let me ask you this. Where do you go to buy your pants to fit your enormous thighs?
Well, you actually reverted on so many calories. Your thighs never get they're muscular. I used to, before I got in the sport in 2010, I used to be a 5K guy, and I had those real skinny little legs, right?
Yeah.
But my legs aren't overly buffed or big, but, you know, it's hard to put on weight when you're you know, because stairs is a great way to burn up calories. We have a couple people on our team. One guy lost, he's 6'4". He lost 160 pounds just doing stair climbing. My sister, who's 5'2", she's lost 85 pounds.
And there's still room to sign up for this, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. And you can sign up even the day of the event, Phil.
Very good. And so once you get to the top of the stair climb, can you take the elevator down?
I was thinking the same thing.
You want to take the elevator down. And this climb is – the really neat thing about L.A., this climb, it's a real festive environment. There's a beer garden down at the bottom. We like.
Oh, well then, let's go sign up right now, sir.
Yeah.
How long does it take usually for an average person to get all the way to the top?
All right, Aaron, again, another great question. The average person who's just trained a little bit is just going to, you know, go slow, walk, you know, one step at a time, and, you know, get drinks, you know, water, not beer, okay, on the way up. Yeah, got to qualify that or clarify that. But probably 35 minutes, something like that.
Oh, that's a good workout. That is a good workout. Well, Mark Trenofsky, thank you very much, and good luck with your big event. That's on the 19th of September. It's a Friday. Go to philhewlettandfriends.com. Click on the links page. You'll see a link to where you could sign up for this. I'm seriously considering it now.
No, you're not.
Of course I'm not. Hey, that's it for Hour 1. More Ebola patients are being evacuated from West Africa, and they are coming here. Should you be nervous? Soon we'll find out also if Scotland will end its 300 years of unification with the UK. Who cares, right? But what would it mean for your vacation dollar? Our travel guy joins us live. Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is Hour 2 of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about the most. You'll hear from experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. In this hour, did you see what happened in Arizona? First the wind, then the rain. They actually had to close Interstate 10 And that's where our Chris Martin is. We hope to hear from him shortly. Plus, if Scotland votes to split from England and Wales and the rest of the UK, will your vacation dollars go farther or will prices go through the roof? Our travel guy joins us live. The friends are here. Aaron Myers and Jay Cappadonia. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. By the way, make your comments on our Twitter page. Faf Show. Faf. P-H-A-F Show. That's our Twitter handle. Aaron, you like... I'm saying faf. You're over there mouthing it.
I am, yes.
Faf.
Faf.
Faf. Most of the stories that we're hearing about Ebola have to do with how terrible it is in West Africa and how people are dying. And it, whenever somebody catches it, the chances are pretty good they're going to die. And every now and then we hear a story about somebody coming over here to be treated.
Yes.
And what have you uncovered?
Well, you know, we've had four patients that were publicly identified. The first was Dr. Kent Brantley to be treated here in the U.S. Well, I guess over the last, like, 6 weeks, they've been bringing other patients back here to the United States and putting them in the hospital. And they don't necessarily have to have Ebola, per se, but they've been around it or exposed to it. They haven't said how many people have actually been flown here, but there is a company called Phoenix Air that is 10 trips so far, bringing patients back here to the United States, and they're being monitored at hospitals, and they aren't releasing how many, but it is kind of like a mini ICU, I guess, in this plane, too, when they're transporting people back here.
Man, so think about it. You're the guy that has to clean up the plane after the fact.
No.
Right? No.
Yeah, you don't want that job.
No.
Is this something you think we have to be worried about? I mean,
they are saying, you know, it's not too... Don't worry too much. They are equipped at the hospitals that they're taking people to. And as I said, it's like a hospital in these planes. So they don't want people to be too concerned at this point.
Right. But still, that bug could get out, can't it?
See,
scary.
That's the thing. Oh, no. We got it under control. We got it under control.
Until
okay,
they
everybody.
Don't have it under control.
Yes.
Okay. Now's the time to panic.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
It's like, come on,
don't
guys.
Panic yet. Okay, panic.
Yeah.
Yes. You'll know when. You'll know when to panic.
So
right
so.
Now, don't start. But.
All right. Oh, my gosh. I know, and if people don't know you well enough yet, Aaron, they will, that you're a CAG. What does that stand for?
Crazy Animal Girl.
Yes. A CAG.
Yes, a CAG.
To say the least.
Yeah, you love the animals.
I do.
And you've got a couple of animal stories here, and this first one is in Indiana. What's this about?
Well, in Indiana, it's horrible. A horrible thing happened. A mother, she was actually kept captive for 2 months and was beaten. She was raped, and they treated her like a dog. Apparently, she had to wear a collar. They put her in a cage. And finally, somebody did rescue her. This couple, they... I guess they picked her up while she was walking the streets of Evansville. She had had a fight with her boyfriend. The guy offered her a ride. This guy, Ricky House Jr., took her to his mobile home 40 miles away and had her there for 2 months with the woman he lives with, Kendra Tooley. Well, I guess this woman's ex-husband came over and saw what they were doing, and he rescued her. And now both of them are in big, big trouble, you know, facing lots of charges, including rape, kidnapping, and confinement.
Not so, actually an animal scary. Story there, was it?
No, they were just treating her like one.
Okay. All so, right.
They made her wear a dog collar.
A dog collar, yes.
Okay. But
and
you,
a cage, like
but
a kennel.
You do, however, have an animal
I
story
do.
Specifically
I
about
do.
Animals.
And this one's really, really sad. 5,000 dogs, almost 5,000 killed in China to control rabies after authorities say that 5 people died from rabies. So this is they've been going around picking up the strays. They're killing them. And then they've also vaccinated another 100,000. You know, this is something the Chinese government has done before. They kill dogs and they ban ownership to control rabies. And now animal activists are obviously really upset. They say the animals should be sterilized and vaccinated, not killed.
Yeah.
So,
and then what? And then what?
I don't know.
What are you going to do with 5,000 dogs? It's 5,000?
5,000 is
what
how many.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a
lot. I mean, China's a big place.
Yeah, well, not that big, Phil. I mean, come on. No. Yes, it is a gigantic place.
Well,
as
pet adoptions go, can you unload 5,000 dogs?
That's my
tough.
Point.
Yeah.
You know,
very,
where are you going to go? Like, look, just clean it up and start again.
Yeah. Wow. I guess that was what they decided to do. So pragmatic, Jay. Not compassionate, but pragmatic.
That's what you do. Cut right to the bone. You got 5,000 dogs. What are you going to do? Oh, I got an idea. Let's just get rid of him and start again.
Wow. It's making Aaron sad over here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I mean, nobody wanted him to begin with.
No, that is
they're
true.
They're stray dogs, or they ran away. They're sick. They're killing people. I'm sorry, you got to make a decision at some point, right?
Feedback at Phil Hewlett and Friends is our email address.
Animal lovers, please.
By the way. You know what? Sometimes schools, they have these rules, and they just don't they don't let you break the rule no matter what. There's a zero tolerance when it comes to certain things. And in this case, we're talking dress codes, Jay.
Yes, and we go to my favorite state. Anybody want to take a guess?
Florida.
Orange Park, Florida, to be exact. And a 15-year-old sophomore at Oak Leaf High School went to school, and she was wearing a skirt. And she got busted for it. It was short. It didn't reach her knees. What are you shaking your head for over there?
I don't know.
That's the rule.
Crazy.
That's the rule. I'm sure there's other schools that you can wear whatever you want. Go to that school. But in this school, your skirt has to reach your knees. Well, she got punished. She was called into the office. Here's kind of the crazy part about this. Her mother has to wear what's called a dress code violation outfit. Comprised of a neon yellow t-shirt with the words that say dress code violation, and a pair of red sweatpants with the same words written down the leg. Now, the mother has to wear the dress code violation outfit in order to embarrass the child to teach them never to break the dress code dress code.
What grade's the child in again?
Sophomore in high school.
Crazy. I don't know if that would embarrass me, actually. I think I'd probably find it funny my mom like that.
Yeah, just having mom in the same room with a sophomore in high school will embarrass a young girl, right?
Exactly the point, Phil.
Yeah, but now in this t-shirt, it's even worse.
Exactly. I'm mortified. Yeah. Mortified.
I've seen the picture. It's not a cute outfit by any means.
But at the same time, you're an adult, and some person says, hey, look, you know, you got to put on this outfit. What do you say? No.
No.
Yeah. Sure.
No.
You can't make me.
All right. Fine. Hey, why don't we stay in Florida for this story?
Yes.
Normally, a woman buying a few $100 worth of stuff with a bad credit card isn't going to make the national news, right? But women don't usually have names like this. A 19-year-old woman in Jupiter, Florida was arrested a few weeks ago, and her name is Cherry's Waffles Tennis.
What? No, it's not.
As far as we know, that's her given name, even though it really sounds like just three nouns randomly jammed together, right? Or maybe it's some kind of spy secret code. She's in the witness protection program.
Cherry's Waffles Tennis.
That's right. And two friends, we don't know their names, managed to buy about $400 worth of stuff from a surf shop a few weeks ago with a deactivated credit card. The surfer behind the counter said, well, that'll be $400, dude. Okay, here you go. I don't know. You don't have to sign that. Just go, here you go. Thanks. Anyway, they had the cashier punch in the number instead of swiping the card. Ah, somehow that made the card work. But who cares about the nuts and bolts of the crime, right? We're just here for the name Cherry's Waffles Tennis.
So who's taking bets? God-given from the parents or turn 19 and I'm going to do what I want and change my name to piss my parents off?
But you don't pick that name.
No, I don't know.
Do you really?
I don't know.
What do you think the parents' names are?
We need to dig a little deeper, find
Count
this
Chocula
out.
Count Chocula.
Yeah.
Well,
just remember the name because, again, you know, if she goes on to lead a life of crime or if she even gets busted for running a stop sign, that's a story that would never make the news. But she will always make the news because her name is Cherry's Waffles Tennis.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Remember her. All right. And also, were you voted most likely to something when in your high school yearbook? Were you? Aaron, were you?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
I don't think I was either.
No.
Me neither.
No? Nothing? Okay.
Not special.
Wait till you hear this one. And some folks are up in arms about what the Yearbook Club has come up with. Most likely two, and we'll fill in the blank next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot.
Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. We have Aaron Myers and Jay Campidonia here with us. We're going to hear from Chris Martin in just a little bit somewhere in Arizona, we understand. But in the meantime, you know that the kids in high school that are on the committee that puts together the yearbook, They have to figure out things in advance, and they have the voting amongst the seniors, most likely to succeed, biggest flirt, you know, friendliest, all those types of things, most athletic. One school is in getting into a little trouble. Is that right, Jay?
Officials at a New Mexico high school said they've received numerous complaints about their most likely to skinny dip yearbook photo featuring implied nudity. Apparently, the two kids that were voted most likely to skinny dip, they posed naked behind a tree. You can't see anything, but they're peeking out from behind the tree. You guys get the idea,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Well, parents are mortified. How dare you put nudity in my child's yearbook?
What a memorable yearbook, though, huh?
School officials say they didn't mean anything by it. They thought it was going to be funny. They wanted to, you know, instead of doing the most likely to succeed, most likely to, you know, flirt, whatever, let's do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Jazz it up a little bit.
So school officials have now said, the assistant principal said that they will exercise more oversight in the future.
Well.
When it comes to yearbook categories.
You know, you're a senior. In many cases, you're 18 by the time you graduate.
Yeah. So
they
who
could
cares?
Be adults, yeah.
But still, you've
where
got
was this again?
In New Mexico.
You can't take your clothes off in New Mexico in public.
Is there even lakes in New Mexico? You're in the middle of the desert, right?
Right.
So how are you going to go skinny dipping in New Mexico?
True.
Well, I guess there's pools.
Most likely to leave pools. New Mexico?
Yeah.
To go skinny dipping?
Yeah, right.
Well, and right next to New Mexico is a place in the world that they call Arizona. And Arizona is prone to something that also happens in the Sahara Desert and central Australia, something called a haboob. And we happen to have one of those who's frequently on the program, actually on every show except for this one today. It's Chris Martin. He's on the – where are you? On the Interstate 10, Chris?
Yeah, I'm on the side of the Interstate 10. What's up, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller. Love the show.
Wow, we screen these carefully, don't we? All right, so you went out to Arizona gathering around the Phoenix area yesterday, and you just got pummeled by what?
Well, first by what you said, Phil, a haboob, which is a weird name, and apparently it's the term for a phenomenon where when the wind comes in before the storm, it picks up all this desert sand, and it just washes out. It's like this sandstorm for as high as you can see from the sky to the floors. It's covered in this, like, brownish-red dirt, and it's pretty nasty.
You made that up. That's not a real term.
I've never heard it.
No, it's real. I promise, and all you have to do is look it up, H-A-B-O-O-B. And right next to it, you'll see a picture of Chris Martin. No, you won't. You'll see a whole bunch of pictures, and it looks like a giant, like a 500-foot tall wave of dust coming in your general direction.
Yeah, of desert sand. And I heard the name actually for the first time on Saturday, and I did the same thing. I had to do a double take. I was like, it's called a what?
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, now what happens is everything gets covered in this desert sand, and then the rain comes, and boy, did it come, Chris.
Yeah, well, we had a couple of storm systems that came from Southern California and from the Gulf area of Mexico, and these two storm systems merged together and apparently got even angrier and then decided to come over Phoenix and dump something like 4.5 inches in 4 hours. I mean, it was just ridiculous, and even flooded out their freeways. They had to shut down the 10. They had to shut down the 60. There were cars buried underwater, people swimming and wading chest deep. It was wild.
Yeah, and so you were delayed a day. Have things calmed down? Have they dried up a little bit? You're obviously on the road.
Yeah, well, they did in town, and now I'm on the 10 on my way back. I'm probably 25 miles outside of Phoenix, and now I'm back underneath a cloud full of rain, and it's dumping right now. I mean, it's a wasteland out here, so I got to drive pretty slow and really focus on what I'm doing.
Yeah, all right. So do you think you'll be home by Thursday?
Yeah, if all goes well.
Yeah, all right. Well, keep your hands on the wheel, your eyes on the road, and you've got new wiper blades on the car, right?
You know, I thought I did, but one of them's starting to struggle a little bit. I see it feeling from the top, so hopefully it'll hang in there.
Great.
Drive safe,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah,
good
long
timing.
Ride.
But yeah, be safe. All right, thanks for checking in with us, Chris, and be careful out there, will you?
Hey, one other thing I want to say about these storms is they're really hairy when they're happening, but I'll tell you what, it created some of the most beautiful scenes during sunset and when there was a full moon last night. When this stuff would break and the sun was setting or the sun was rising because of all this activity with the clouds, just some awesome pictures.
Oh, I can tell by all the pictures you've posted on social media. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't post any pictures on social media. All right. Well, thanks, Chris. We're going to look at your phone when you get back. Show us all your photos. And again, drive safely.
Got it, guys. Have fun. I'll see you soon.
All right. There we go. Man, see? Haboob. Neither of you had heard about that,
no,
huh?
No, and I lived in Arizona, and I never had that experience. I had the monsoon weather, but never the full sandstorm situation. Never a haboob.
Yeah, yeah.
I was not
well, I don't,
experiencing
I don't
that.
Think I ever want to be in the middle of one of those.
No, no
for,
way.
That's for sure. All right. So what happens when you win the lottery? Do you quit your job, or do you keep on working? Depends on how much you win, I would think.
I think it depends on your job.
If
you love
like
your
it.
Job.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a fancy, highfalutin job. It could be anything, as long as you love it, right?
As long as you love it.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, tell us about this couple in Minnesota.
Yes, a Minnesota couple. They actually just won $11.7 million. And that's exactly what Rhonda Meath said. She is not going to quit her job. She works as a waitress at Lake Elmo Inn in Lake Elmo, Minnesota. And she says that, you know, even with this money, she loves her boss. She has great friends there. So she has no plans on leaving. And they're actually going to do some nice stuff as well with the money that they won. They're not going to do any really big spending, but they're going to get a car. And then they're going to help out some charities. They actually are going to help the teenage clerk who sold them the winning lottery ticket. They're going to help him go to school.
Oh,
so very nice. And then also a police canine foundation as well. So
yeah.
Doing some good things and keeping their job.
Wow. How about that?
Mm-hmm. See, that's rad.
It is. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jay, you've been following the new iPhone that's coming out. You have an iPhone, right? How about
I
you,
do.
Aaron? Are you an iPhone person as
I
well?
I have an iPhone too,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, I'm an Android, and I know that the new iPhone, it's going to look a little more like an Android, right?
Yeah, there's two versions, I guess, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this on Thursday with Jeremy, the tech guy.
Because he's going to know everything about it
since he's
Apple boy.
But there's like two versions. There's like a regular version, and then there's a bigger version like the Android, like your size.
Yeah, like a Samsung S5.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's something that you Apple people should know. Today's the day Apple finally announced the iPhone, like we're talking about it, so you can breathe again if you were holding your breath. But I want to put a damper on the announcement. If you get the new iPhone, your cell phone bill is probably going to shoot way up.
What?
A telecommunications analyst says that with every new generation of iPhone, the amount of data people use doubles. So the average iPhone user goes through 1.4 gigabytes of data on their phone every month right now. So that means if you get the iPhone 6, it should jump to almost 3 gigabytes, and that's going to be a big price jump at pretty much any cell phone carrier's levels. I don't know what your plan is right now, but if you're wondering how you go through that much data, it's easy. Streaming video takes a ton of it.
Mm-hmm.
And these phones make it easier and easier to do that, right? Watch the streaming. Watching an hour of Netflix in HD will use a few gigabytes.
That's easily.
Yeah. So you want that unlimited if you can get it. But no, really, if you have Verizon or AT&T, they kind of grandfathered you out of that, didn't they?
They did. But all you got to do is use your phone's Wi-Fi.
Yeah, then you're not using your data.
Then you're not using your data. So you just got to be smart.
Yes.
That's all.
Do you have the Wi-Fi at home?
Yeah.
Me too.
See?
That's what I use mine. You walk in the door and the phone starts going Wi-Fi. And you figure out where all the Wi-Fi is too.
That's very true.
Yes.
Yep. Exactly.
As long as you don't have to pay for it. You know, if it's free, it's for me.
In the words of Emmitt Smith,
yes,
the greatest running back of all time, if it's free, give me three.
Yes. Do you like the tomatoes, Jay?
I do like the tomatoes. Guy, I'm Italian. Of course I like the tomatoes. But this guy grew in Minnesota a record-breaking tomato. It is almost 9 pounds.
That's crazy.
9 pound tomato.
A 9 pound tomato, but it looks like a mutant. It looks like 4 or 5 or 6 tomatoes may have kind of got together and stuck together. It just doesn't look good, but it's actually 8.41 pounds.
Wow. So as a tomato lover, connoisseur, and Italian guy, when somebody says tomato, does it just irk you?
Yes.
It gets under your skin?
It is tomato.
All right. It's not tomato.
No, you idiot.
Hey, we're watching with interest what happens in Scotland. If that country breaks from the UK, it could either be good or bad for your travel dollar. And our travel dude joins us live. Next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we're going to go traveling now. Our travel guy, Gary Warner, joins us live, and we're talking about Scotland today, and Scotland is in the news. Everyone in the UK is following what's happening here because the UK could get a little smaller. If people vote to, what do you call it, split from the UK?
Well, they're going for independence.
All right.
But the original form of it was called devolution, which is, I guess, it's devolving because they put it all together and now they're taking it all apart over the course of about 300 years.
Oh, right. Okay.
And Scotland's one of my favorite places in all the world. It's just an absolutely gorgeous spot. You have the great cities of Edinburgh and Glasgow down in the lowlands as you're coming up into the highlands. Then you have the highland areas of Glencoe and the Isle of Skye and lots of great golf, lots of great single malt whiskeys. It's just a fantastic, beautiful place. But the biggest thing that's happened in Scotland is they discovered oil there near Aberdeen. It's been a few decades ago. And that sort of ramped up the drive for Scottish independence, which has been around for a long time.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. So...
Let me, if I can, run this. You know,
yeah, because I have a couple of questions about this.
Yeah, some people don't have a clear idea of you know, there's Britain and England and everything. What is this? Okay, think like of a bunch of big circles that overlap.
Yeah,
the British Isles is everything, including Ireland and Great Britain. The next thing down you have is the United Kingdom, which is a political organization, and that includes England, Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Now, Ireland, the island, actually has two different countries, Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. Then you have Great Britain, which has Scotland, England, and Wales. And then you have those individual parts within Great Britain of those three spots.
How many stamps on your passport is that, Gary?
None these days. But the thing is you can be Scottish and be British, but you cannot be British and be Scottish. You cannot be English and be Scottish. It's sort of like if you think of Scotland, England, and Wales, a little bit like states, perhaps, is how it comes together.
Yeah. All right. Gotcha. So if the folks in Scotland vote to split, what happens immediately for travelers after that?
Well, I don't think a whole lot will happen. I think they'll probably set up a time period where they'll sort of pull things apart because these are two countries that have been together since 1707. So they've got a lot of business that they've done together, and they have to decide whose castle is what and whose land is what.
What would the currency be?
That's been a big question, whether they would go with the pound, which is very powerful, whether they would join the European Union and go with the euro, or they might come up with something else.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. So if split or not, you know, if that's their business. It's not ours. If it doesn't affect us, why travel to Scotland? What's there?
Well, it's just a it really is the sort of like the Montana and Idaho and Wyoming of Britain. You go from a sort of a very interesting but old and staid world down there in England, and you get up into the Highlands, and it's a very rough and tumble area with a very bloody history of all the clans bashing each other over the heads and fighting the British and fighting each other.
None of that happens to tourists, though, right? You don't get bashed.
None of that happens anymore to tourists much. It's a very safe area.
Yeah.
One of the safest areas I can think of.
You didn't mention whiskey in any of those descriptions.
Oh, no. You know, every whiskey sort of like every seems like every bend in the road where there's a river is a different kind of whiskey. Unlike Ireland, where there's two main whiskeys, and that's Jameson's in the south, mm-hmm, and Bushmills in the north. The single malt Scotch whiskeys in Scotland, every one is like a microbrew. They're all over the place. And each has a little bit different, whether the water went over limestone, how much peat is involved, and things like that. So you can kind of tweak it and find what your favorite one is.
Yeah. And so, Jay, so this is something
tweaking,
important for you.
By the way.
You know, Jay's a big Jack Daniels guy, but he, you know, I think a whiskey run. What would you call that? If you it's not like a pub crawl, but a whiskey run through Scotland.
Whiskey tours, and you know what's great is that they have people who will take you, because first of all you're driving on the left side of the road, so you know you don't want to be doing that. But they'll
do cars tip over when you drive them with the steering wheel on the right side?
No. You know, in fact, I think it's more stable than, because they, except for the Range Rovers, they don't have all the big blurpy SUVs that we have. In fact, they have a lot of what they call post roads, which are one lane roads.
Yeah.
And there's a post like every 200 yards. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit wider. And so you stop there and you're supposed to look in and see if you can look down to the next post. And if there's a car, isn't a car there, you go down to the next post.
Love it. All right. So you say this is more or less the outback, the Montana, the Wyoming.
Wyoming,
of
England,
it's
wild,
England,
raw,
it's got its own flavor versus England and Ireland. But speaking of flavor, isn't Scotland where people eat haggis?
Yes, I've had it quite often.
You want to describe that for us?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly quite sure. And in modern cooking, they've taken some of the things out, but it's basically in the old days before we had refrigerated ships that could bring bananas up from Brazil in the middle of winter and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You had to use everything on the farm. Well, the haggis is basically, as I remember, I think it's the stomach of the sheep. And a lot of oats and other things are stuffed in it. And then it's cooked in such a way that you it becomes sort of a mealy, like cake. Sort of, then you slice it.
Yeah, no, it can never be cake, sir.
No. But I'm telling you, it's a heart attack in a slice.
But it's the traditional thing that the Scots they eat it ceremonially sometimes.
Oh yeah,
they?
There's still in some places there's still blood in the haggis.
No, that's part of the ceremony.
Yeah, you better have it with eggs if you're going to have fried eggs. If you're going to have it. You
know, all right, but how about kilts? Is that a Scottish thing?
Oh, kilts are still a big deal, and you'll see folks wandering around town. It's more like a tuxedo thing for the most part. You know, you'll go to like you'll be in downtown Glasgow or Edinburgh, and you'll see there'll be a big concert or a rally or mm-hmm, or something like that. That's when everybody breaks out their kilts.
Yeah.
And that little bag in the front, which is called a sporran. And they'll wear those. There are a few people who will wear them on a daily basis. Some people like to wear them. Some of the Scots like to wear it on their casual Fridays as a way of basically showing their nationality. But the other thing you'll find is that a lot of the sports teams now that are based up there, whenever they go overseas, they like to and they do for the most part wear underwear underneath.
Oh, the good. See, we were going to ask, but but I'm also curious: is it socially and fashionably acceptable to have some of that like Braveheart Battlefield mud on your knees when you're wearing a kilt?
Depends on what you're doing. If you're going out to one of the big games where you're throwing the huge pylons and lifting boulders and stuff like that, yeah, it is.
They don't roll cheese out there, do they?
I'm not sure if that's one of the places where they roll the big cheeses down the hill. You know, it's hard to keep track of all the nutty things going on there. There's a lot of great dog shows. There's a lot of of
Aaron, dog shows. You're in now.
I like that.
You know, the Border Collies are just absolutely probably the most brilliant dogs in the world, I think.
It's probably because they love the haggis. You know, I'm thinking they serve me some haggis. I'm going to say thank you to the host or the hostess but for the dog. Come here, boy. Come here.
But, you know, there's a whole new school of Scottish culinary up there that you know, with the roasts and bird and things like that. That's quite.
What if you're a vegan? Is it worth going to Scotland if you're a vegan?
You eat oatmeal all day long.
Oatmeal.
Lots of oatmeal. Oh. Lots of oatmeal. Yeah, all but right. No, it's a little bit hard both in England and in Scotland. They love their beef. They love their beef and they love their lamb.
Meat pie.
Meat pies and
all right.
And roast.
We love traveling with you, Gary. Where are you headed off to next week?
I love traveling with you too. You know, I'm getting ready to, I think, slap down some money. I am actually thinking about getting over to Scotland for the election. The election didn't look like it was going to be real close.
Yeah.
And now they're saying it's neck and neck. And I think it would be great to be over in Edinburgh.
You going to stay in a thatch hut or in a castle? What are you going to do?
I'll probably stay in whatever I can get at this late part of the game. But I'm also starting to think more and more about fall colors and whether I want to do it in the West Coast, the East Coast, or maybe Japan this year.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk to you about this time next week.
Sounds good.
Gary Warner, our travel dude. What do you think, Aaron? That haggis was making you grimace like crazy.
I was hungry before, and I'm not so much anymore. No.
No, okay. Right. We're still getting to know Aaron. See, over here, the two guys, me and Jay, we're walking cheeseburgers.
That's it. What else is there?
Yeah, right? So I'm curious. You a meat eater or no?
I do eat meat, yes. But I go through phases where 1 month I'm like, I'm not eating meat. I'm going to become a vegetarian. And then I realize I don't like vegetables that much.
Oh, well.
So it's tough.
See, there is that problem if you want to be vegetarian. I gotcha.
It's a rough one.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, while we were talking about the UK and all of that, we have a stat, a pretty peculiar stat out of Britain that I think you're going to want to hear about. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Yes, you are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and that's a good thing. Tell your friends. And if you don't have any, we're here for you. I'm Phil Hewlett, Jay Campidonia, Aaron Myers are here, Chris Martin is on the road. In torrential rain in Arizona. It's still coming down out there after all that weather they had yesterday and the day before, courtesy of, what's the name of the hurricane again, Aaron?
Norbert.
Norbert.
Yes.
You ever know a guy named Norbert?
No.
It's not a common name,
no,
is it?
No, it is not.
Those Habibs, they sound scary.
Haboob.
Oh, boob. Haboob. Oh.
Yes.
Whatever. Close enough. Jeez.
So we were talking to our travel dude about the UK and about Scotland, but you know that folks drink a little bit out there, don't they?
They do.
And there's an interesting stat out of Britain. What is it?
It is. It basically, I'm going to give you the quick headline, that they spend a year of their life hungover. Macmillan Cancer Support Center out there in London surveyed 2,000 people. And basically said that the average person suffers 3,000 hangovers in their lifetime.
3,000?
3,000.
The average person or the average Briton?
The average Briton.
Oh. That's different.
The average Briton, 3,000. Okay? And it's actually a little more than that. So, which averages out to 315 days of your life suffering from hangover, suffering from getting loaded the night before. 10% of the people who responded said they went out and drinking and missed a job interview the next day.
No.
Because they were hungover. 8% said they missed a wedding. I don't know if it was theirs.
Hopefully not. Yeah.
But they were too hungover to properly function.
Isn't it? You've seen this scene in a movie 100 times, right? Where it's set in England or somewhere like that, and the guy leaves work and goes to the bar, and then the next day he's got to deal with his wife who wonders why he didn't go to work or go get the job interview or why he didn't show up at the wedding.
Right?
Hasn't that played out over and over and over again?
Obviously, it happens over there a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Well, every time I've been there, I know people are out early, like 5 o'clock, they're out of work, and they're at the pub.
Yeah, so. That's what you do, right?
Mm-hmm. You have pub life, and you could walk in, bring your family, bring your kids, and everybody's in the pub.
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah.
So anyways, in response to this study, they are asking people worldwide, not just the Britons, to go sober for the month of October. Just
really?
Give it a shot. Give it a shot. Instead of, because they say, this research shows that hangovers are a waste of time and are causing people to miss out on everything from romance to their dream job.
Yeah.
That's why we are asking people to try and go sober for the month of October.
That's a hard month, though, because that's Oktoberfest, so yeah. that's a rough one.
This is why they chose it, because if you can do it in October during Oktoberfest, you can do it the rest of the year.
Now, is it there? So Oktoberfest has been going on because it starts in September, right?
Yes.
And don't they have these competitions for the guys and the ladies who bring out the beers?
Yeah, you know, the ones in the Lederhosen and the whole deal, right?
Right. Yeah,
actually,
exactly.
Down here, down the street, they have a giant Oktoberfest down here in Los Angeles at Alpine Village. Have you ever been there?
Sure, I've been there.
That's fun. Do that, Aaron.
Okay. Yeah.
That is something to do.
Beer and sausage.
On my list.
Yes. So what are they? One of the competitions is it's how much beer can you carry over 130 feet? And so that's like the length of... Like a restaurant, basically.
And these are in the beer mugs with the handle on them?
The big, giant beer steins.
Oh, the steins.
The big, giant, I think they're about a gallon apiece.
Are these the pewter steins or the glass ones?
The glass ones.
Okay.
One waiter broke the German record. 27 glasses of beer.
Wow.
27.
So he's got his fingers and his thumb and everything kind of wrapped through the little hinges or the handles of the beer glasses.
It contains just over 2 pints of beer. Per glass, right?
Yeah.
And he would stack them in a two-tier system, carried them the distance. I'm trying to see how much that actually weighs.
No, I'm That's thinking heavy. It's probably about 50 pounds.
That's heavy.
That's about right.
Does that make sense? 50 pounds.
Yeah, you're about right. So that's cool. 27 pints.
What is it in metric?
I couldn't tell
because
you.
That's what they're thinking over there.
Yeah.
Now, that was in Germany, not Austria?
That was in Germany.
Yeah. Well, they're having a lot of beer. They're having a lot of fun in Oktoberfest. I mean, especially in Germany and in Austria, that whole area, right? I mean, they're having too much fun in some cases.
City officials in the Austrian capital of Vienna are considering, now, I don't know exactly the specifics of how this thing works, but it's a drive-in brothel.
Oh. So while you're enjoying your Oktoberfest beers, you might need a place to... kick it.
Do they have a menu? I mean, how does that work?
This is what you do. You drive up, and then there are different sex boxes along this road.
Yeah.
And you drive up, and the woman comes out and shows you the goods, and it's like, I'll go to the next box.
Yeah.
And then I'll go to the next box. And then I'll finally find a box I want to go in.
Yeah.
And then you go in the box.
This is my box.
Wow.
This is the box that I want to go in.
Yeah. That's a fancy box right there.
Yeah.
I wonder how they feel when they're passed by, you know?
Oh, thank God.
Maybe.
It depends on who's driving by.
That's
right?
True. You have to look in the window first and see.
Some big, bald, hairy guy. You know what I mean? It's like, oh.
Well, keep going. Oh, keep going.
Oh, that one down there. She's having a special.
Yeah.
Get down there.
Right. Well, back to the drinking for a second. And we're going to go from Germany to Florida.
Again. Yes.
Yes.
For this story from Aaron.
Back to Florida. A Florida mom went to her child's school to pick him or her up.
Yeah.
And I guess the school official said that she appeared extremely drunk. So they called police. She actually fled the scene, hit 2 other cars on her way home. And I guess the officers, they tracked her down. And when they got to her, she started kicking and scratching. And, you know, pretty much they had to get her on the ground. And do you know how high her blood alcohol level was 0.413.
Whoa. Wait, there wasn't a zero after the point?
Oh. No. So I don't know how she was functioning, really, but obviously she ran into other
cars. Maybe she met up with the German waiter with 27 glasses of beer.
That's near death.
Yeah. Yes. Or she took that challenge with the Jack Daniels. I don't
know. Right. What a fine, fine mother.
So, yeah, she's now child neglect, battery on an officer, and resisting arrest. So.
Well, while we're talking about mothers,
Aye.
New survey found the average mother does 42 jobs every single day, and half of them are done before 9 o'clock in the morning. Every mom's list of daily jobs is different, but here are 10 that made pretty much every mom's list. These are the... for the most part, the stay-at-home moms. Getting the kids out of bed, getting breakfast ready, cleaning up after breakfast, doing laundry, folding and putting away laundry, vacuuming, planning out dinner, making dinner, cleaning up after dinner, helping the kids get cleaned up and ready for bed.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Moms
how about
are good.
That? Those are the 10. Yeah, you can't beat mom, can you?
Some moms.
Yeah. Some moms will beat you.
Not the ones in Florida, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Way to put a blanket statement over a state.
If I had to do all of those jobs every day, I'd probably look like a zombie.
Yeah, you're telling me. So a guy, or excuse me, cops in Oregon, I believe it is. I'm trying to pull this story up right now. There's a new game that is sweeping the globe, and it's called the zombie game.
Erin's shaking her head.
You don't want to play?
And I just think it's really ridiculous.
The zombie game.
It started in Spain. How it started, I have no idea. But this is what you do. And a woman in Oregon got busted trying to do this. You break into someone's home, and then you begin to gnaw on the people who live there.
You just bite, start chewing on them?
Just start chewing on them.
Yummy.
That's what you do.
That's going to get you shot.
Yeah, right?
And you probably deserve it if you're gnawing somebody's arm.
Yeah, shot in the head, exactly. If they think you're a zombie,
right,
it's the only way to kill a zombie, isn't it?
I think so.
So this is actually happening in multiple places? Lots of people doing it?
Yes, people are getting arrested across the country and they'll even walk right up to you on the street corner and begin to gnaw on you.
There are no buckets of ice water involved.
Or
no.
Drugs.
No. Yeah, I know, right? But the point is, you dress up like your favorite zombie or whatever, and you go and you act like a zombie.
That's
called the zombie game.
Ridiculously stupid.
Idiots.
Added to the list. Hey, we love your comments. We have an email address. It's feedback@philhewlettandfriends. On Twitter, we're @FAFShow. That's PHAF show. Facebook.com/PhilHewlettAndFriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson. Production assistant Nick Wright, assistant in training Nikki Lucius. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Jay Campadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.